Welcome back. This is Fran Tarkington, and welcome to our show. We like to bring people who have built small businesses and entrepreneurs. They're the lifeblood of America. They are the most interesting people when they put their hands in the soil and really get a business going. And we've got our next two guests have really, literally put their hands in the soil, and they come from some of the best part of America, Sonoma Valley, Napa Valley, the wine-making country. Area of our country, and I am a wine zealot. I go out there to Northern California, to Sonoma and Napa twice a year. We make the greatest wine in the world out there, I'm so glad to have our next guest. They are Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan, the co-founders of the Barefoot Winery and authors of the brand new book, The Barefoot Spirit, and it's a great story that you'll hear some today and buy their book and hear and read more of it. They talk about how hardship, hustle, and heart built America's number one wine brand. They took their brand of Barefoot Wines from starting in their laundry room in 1986 to an iconic award winner that transformed the industry. Bonnie and Michael, it's a pleasure to have you on this show. And tell me, how in the world did you bootstrap yourself and go from almost no knowledge of wine, no background in it, to build this great, great company? And you talk about the surprising advantages of being small and broke when you're starting out. First of all, welcome to our show, Bonnie and Michael. And tell me, how could it be an advantage to be small and broke?
Well, you know, when you're small and you don't know what you're doing, you're liable to do something that will change the entire industry. Because you are an outsider, you're looking at it with a clean mind. And we asked questions that nobody ever asked because we were outsiders. As far as being broke is concerned, that's a great asset because now you're not throwing money at every problem and you're forced to be creative, imaginative, and resourceful. So both of those fears that most aspiring entrepreneurs have, which is I don't know enough about the situation, I'm not big enough, I don't have enough money, they turn out to be your assets. And when you have hindsight, which is 2020, you look back and you say, oh my gosh, we wouldn't have revolutionized the wine business if we'd known any better.
So what did you do before you started the Barefoot Winery?
Michael and I were both business consultants. We chose to live in Sonoma County because we really loved the country here, and it's next to the ocean. So this is where we lived, and this is where we did our consulting. I had a client that was a grape grower, and he wasn't getting paid for his grapes. So I asked Michael if he could see if he could get some funds collected from the winery that owed him the most money. And he went to that winery and found out that they were about to go bankrupt and there was no funds to give my client for his grapes. But what Michael was able to negotiate was a trade for services, which was bottling, and also for bulk wine. And that's how we got started.
The two of you started this business with no knowledge of making wine. I'm sure you probably had a glass or two and you liked it, but no knowledge of farming, no knowledge of making wines, and here you go, and you didn't have a lot of capital. This is a great entrepreneurial story and an inspiration to people. Tell me, you know, how you compensated.
Well, as I said, you know, we didn't know what we were doing, so we followed our intuition and tried to use what we consider to be common sense. And so we said, hey, you know, we've got all these goods and all these services that are available to us. Let's go to the largest wine buyer in the state of California and ask him what he would like. How would he like it? Because we had to translate the goods and service into cash to pay the debt.
Sure.
To satisfy Bonnie's client. And so when I went into his office, he was really surprised. And I basically was hat in hand, and I said, listen, you got to help me out over here. I've got all this wine and all these bottling services. I can give it to you any way you like. Just tell me what you want. He says, boy, he says, that's amazing. Nobody's ever come in here and asked me what I wanted. They always came in here and told me what they had and tried to sell me on what they had. But since you ask, I'll tell you exactly where there's an opportunity in my store for product that we think can move. So he gave me the description, and boy, I'm telling you, it was like getting the equivalent of a master's degree in wine marketing in less than 5 minutes. He used some interesting lingo. He said, okay, here it is. He says, I want a salt and pepper act. I want it to be better than Bob and cheaper than Bob. And, I want you to put it in a pig. I'm writing all this down. I'm thinking, oh, put it in a pig, huh? He says, you got that? And I said, yeah. I said, we can do that. I didn't know what the heck the guy was talking about. I'm on my way out the door, and he says, oh, and one more thing, he says, don't make it a leap, a creek, or a valley. He says, don't make it a chateau. Don't make it French. Don't put any curlicues on the label. He says, make the name the same as the image and make it visible from 4 feet away so she can see it when she's pushing her cart by. And I got that, and I write all that down. Okay, so then I go home and I start the process of translating. So I go to my friend who's been in the business for 20 years, and I say, would you translate something for me? What is a salt and pepper act? He goes, oh, he says, that's a red and a white varietal, you know, like Cabernet Sauvignon and Sauvignon Blanc. I said, great, great. I said, tell me, who's Bob anyway? And he says, oh, he says, that's Robert Mondavi. I said, oh, great, got to be better than Robert Mondavi and cheaper than Robert Mondavi. That's correct.
His friend laughed at him.
So, yeah, like we were crazy, because we were. And he says, and so I said, one last thing. I said, pray tell me, what is a pig? He says, oh, a pig. He says, that's a big, fat bottle of wine. That's the 1.5 liter. That's the Magnum.
Yeah. I never heard it called pig.
Yeah, well, of course, this is lingo. This is,
yeah.
This is industry distribution lingo. So, and then we started thinking about the label, you know, what he was saying about the label. He said he wanted it, you know, to have the name to be the same as the image. And he wanted it to be seen from 4 feet away so she could see it when she was pushing her cart. Well, that was a clue. We realized, oh, my gosh, most of the wine is bought by women in supermarkets. Turned out to be 78% of the supermarket shoppers are women, about 35 to 37 years old with 2.5 kids, you know, professional job. And she's doing her shopping for the week, and she picks up wine like she picks up, you know, sugar or flour. She picks it up as a staple. Now, I'm not talking about vintage-dated fine wine here. I'm talking about Tuesday night wine, you know, the real stuff.
Yeah.
America drinks. And so, so we got a clue about what we had to do from that short little interview with that buyer. Just by being humble and asking.
Well, there you are. And it's a great lesson for all entrepreneurs. You talk to your customer. You talk to your marketplace. The only way to know what they want is to ask them the question, as you did, pretty basic business 101. You ask them the question. He gave you the answers. You had to go get interpretation, and that got you going down the right track. By the way, you're listening to Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan, the co-founders of the Barefoot Winery out in Sonoma Valley, and they're the authors of the brand new book, Their Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. Great read, great book. Go buy their book, because this story is beyond wine and the love of wine. It's about starting a business. It's about Bonnie and Michael, as you started out, even getting that information, you had to have moments of, are we crazy? Are we doing the right thing? You had to question yourself 1,000 times, did you not?
Oh, absolutely. We questioned ourselves all the time and wondered if we were crazy. And in a lot of ways, I think we were. But looking back, it's the only way that we could have done it was to be innovative, was to be doing something different. And that's what's great about entrepreneurs. Entrepreneurs are generally leaders, but there's a lot of business owners that will be taking over a family business or an industry that they've been working in for a long period of time. And if that's the case, they have a tendency to follow what's already been done in the past, to do what their family's done, to do what they've learned to do. But we didn't have that advantage or that disadvantage, however you want to look at it. We had to do things differently because we didn't know what we were doing at all.
So what you did, you put your hands in the proverbial soil, learning from the grassroots. How long did it take you from that point of having that meeting with that buyer who was your as a potential customer? How long did it take you to get to the point where you said, you know what, I think we've got a working business model?
Well, I think that that took about 5 months. We created the label, and we hadn't gone to bottle yet, but we had created the label, and that was a big start. So then it was in Easter of 86 that the first wine went into the bottle, and Michael was so proud, both of us were. We went back in, he did, to the buyer's office, and he put down a bottle of Cabernet Sauvignon, and he put down a bottle of Sauvignon Blanc in front of the buyer. He said, there's your salt and pepper act. He says, it's in a pig, and it's pretty good wine, he said. And look, the image and the name are the same. It's got a big foot on it. She can see it as she's pushing her cart down the aisle. How many truckloads do you want?
I love it. And how many did he say?
He said, are you crazy? He said, I can't buy this. He says, nobody's ever heard of this wine. And besides, it's got a foot on it. He says, you know, if you want to go out and spend a couple $100,000 on advertising, I'll be happy to put it in. And I said, well, we don't have, you know, a couple $100,000. In fact, we don't even have a $1,000. You know, what do you think we should do? He says, well, he says, you know, it ain't going to go in the chains. He says, you're going to have to sell it to every independent mama-papa store, every corner liquor store, every little corner grocery store there is, because the chains won't touch it because it's not a household word. Nobody's ever heard of this. So I went, oh, my gosh, you know, so that was our first brick, you know.
Yeah, I mean, you thought you had it all figured out then. I guess you got everything built. You came back to the guy. I've done everything you said to, and now you're telling me you won't buy my wine.
That's right. And not only that, we had it all bottled up, ready to go.
Yeah. So what'd you do?
Well, we had to go out and sell it store by store, neighborhood by neighborhood. And that's when we discovered something really interesting. We're selling it to the stores, the little stores, but even the little stores felt the same way that the chain did. They said, you know,
yeah,
I'll put it in, but, you know, by gosh, if this doesn't sell in 30 days, I've got to discontinue it, and you'll never be back in the store. So we were faced with, how are we going to get people in the store to buy this wine? We don't have enough money for advertising. So we get a telephone call from a guy who is in Chinatown, San Francisco, and he's trying to raise money for a little park for the kids after school. And they've got this lot that was donated by the city. It's about 3 car lengths long, you know, typical San Francisco
sure.
lot. And he says, you know, you're a winery. You probably got a lot of money. We'd like you to donate to our cause. We said, well, we don't have any money. I said, but, you know, we'll give you some wine for your fundraiser, and you can use it, you know, whether you want to auction it off or pour it for dinner. So they took it. About 4 weeks later, we noticed that our sales in the Chinatown stores are taken off.
Wow.
And we thought, man, maybe we've discovered something here. So we went out into other neighborhoods that were around other stores where we placed our wine, and we asked them what was important to them. So we found out that they were trying to raise money for clean air, clean water, kids after school, a new library, all of these different kinds of civic things that they wanted to do. So we were able to support them. And as a result, we gave their membership a social reason to buy our product, which and years later, when we finally had enough money to afford advertising, we didn't do it because we had people who were already passing the word about our brand, word of mouth.
Word of mouth got there.
Yeah, so we were actually practicing what they now call social marketing before there were computers.
You know, the story here is so classic. And all you people who are entrepreneurs or thinking about entrepreneurs, what Michael and Bonnie are saying They didn't know, but nobody knows what's going to work. But they knocked on doors, they tried things, they asked questions, they listened, and all of a sudden, something that they never thought of before through the social networking, it happened. And they tried the wine, they drank the wine, they liked the wine, and then it started getting viral, as they say. What was the price point of your wine?
Well, it would be about $9.99 a magnum in today's money. In those days, it was $4.99. So the money is pretty much inflated in half since 1986.
And
go ahead. It was the velocity price point. It was the price at which most wine in the 1.5-liter bottle would sell. So that's why the buyer...
You're talking about $4.97 for a magnum?
That was in 1986. Today, $9.99.
Yeah, but still, $9.99 for a magnum of wine. How could you possibly make money at that price point?
Well, we couldn't.
We didn't.
We told you we were crazy. People used to say, why doesn't America have a good $5 bottle of wine? Well, we found out why. Okay, it's because. You can't just sell a couple thousand cases. You got to sell hundreds and hundreds of thousands of cases to make it work.
Yeah.
To achieve the efficiency of scale.
We lost money on every case, but we made it up in volume. Go figure that out.
That doesn't sound like a real good business model. Now,
no,
were you? Go ahead.
But the fact is that we finally got up to about 150 to 200,000 cases a year.
Wow, that's a big production.
Yeah, and within a few years, we were small, so we had to start off big, you know. When you're inexpensive, you really have to move a giant volume. So in order for us to give America what we call the personal house wine, we had to sell the whole country. We couldn't just sell, you know, one city. And so that got us involved in interstate marketing. And that's when we realized that we weren't really in the wine business. We could have been selling hammers because what we were in was the distribution management business.
Yeah.
And that was a challenge.
Oh, yeah. And let me reset here just a minute to Michael and Bonnie. This is such an interesting story, and I'm glad you're with us. This is Sirius XM Radio. It's the Fran Tarkenton Show, and you've been listening to Bonnie Harvey and Michael Houlihan, the co-founders of the Barefoot Winery and authors of the brand-new book. It's a great read, The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. And I guess if that's what you're advertising, you became the top brand name in America for wine. Did you get that because of the volume of business, or what caused that?
Actually, we did not take it to number one, but that's what it is today.
I got you. Okay.
We took it to be a best seller in the United States. We took it to 50 states and 28 foreign countries.
And, good gracious.
And we developed the DNA for the brand that we believe helped it achieve its number one brand status today.
Now, before you sold it, did you make money?
We eventually did make money. We made enough money after 7 years to pay back my client, the grower, for all of his grapes. And
wow.
We made enough money to, obviously, to grow our brand. We hired people, salespeople, in every territory where our brand was for sale so they could watch the shelves, watch the distributors, make sure the retailers didn't run out, and also to go into the community and work with the people in the nonprofits and community fundraisers. So we're very happy about that, and I think that was really a good accomplishment with all the worthy causes that we were able to help along the way. We ended up selling 600,000 cases the year that we sold the brand, or the year before we sold the brand, and it closed in January of 2005.
Now, for you people listening, because I go to the wine country all the time, and it's hard to make money in the wine country, and we all know that. And I think some of my friends have told me that 70-80% of the wineries in Napa Valley don't make any money. And most of them, even the expensive ones, you know, they make as little as 1,200 cases of wine a year, 2,000, 2,500 cases of wine a year. it's just that's hard to make money at that level. And you took lower price, bigger volume, and made it work. And you just kind of it sounds like to me, Bonnie, you just kind of learned as you went. But I know it was a lot of hard work, and I know there's a lot of mistakes. And didn't you? I would guess you got discouraged. How'd you get yourself back up every morning and say, "We're gonna try again"?
Well, that's why we call our book The Barefoot Spirit, because you have to have a certain spirit about you. You have to believe that what you're doing will work. You have to believe that there is an answer out there. You have to believe that you are going to develop strategic alliances that are going to win when you win. And because you believe that, you get up and you keep going. And, you know, I think the other thing that kept us going is the people who actually tried our wine and liked our wine from all over the country would write us and call us and say, "Hey, keep it up. This is great. You know, you guys are doing something that we really need." And so it was very rewarding to get that kind of support.
Oh, I know. I felt it. And you know, it's not unlike, you know, being in sports and you go up to college level, pro level, and you it's a great feeling of accomplishment. Now, as you're going down this track, did you have fun?
You have to have fun in whatever you're doing.
Yes, you do.
I always hired people that had a good sense of humor, because if you're going to be bold enough and crazy enough to put a foot on your label, you'd better have a good sense of humor.
Yeah. We used to say that you can sell more wine if you wear a funny hat.
You know, the AARP, and I'm going to meet with them in a few weeks up in Washington, D.C., and I'm in Georgia right now, and I think they've got 52 million members. And they tell me the biggest question they get from seniors is how to start a business. They want to be an entrepreneur. And it's not just from the standpoint of needing to make some money, but it's also activity. I mean, I'm 73 years old. I work harder today in building businesses and helping small businesses and doing radio than I've ever, but I have more fun. It's fun to go and do something worthwhile, to bring some value to somebody. Do you agree, Bonnie and Michael?
Absolutely. What we're doing right now is we're traveling around the country, and we are speaking to schools of entrepreneurship and telling them about the principles that we use, the guiding principles behind the business. And they're finding that to be a great tool they can use and take with them and apply. And it's interesting because these are people at all ages, including seniors. I mean,
you know, if you would, and our audience out there too, by the way, you listen to the Fran Tarkenton Show, and we got Bonnie Harvey, Michael Houlihan, and go buy their book, The Barefoot Spirit. But Bonnie and Michael, I'd like you to go to a website that we've worked out with Office Depot to help small business entrepreneurs and startups. It's called smallbizclub.com, BIZclub.com. The content's going to just explode by next week. We spent a lot of money and time on content. It's a one-stop place where if you are thinking about starting a business, you go to smallbizclub.com. It's free. You'll have the information and knowledge there to give you the some startup ideas and the truth about starting up businesses. Bonnie and Michael, this has been great. You've been an inspiration to me just listening to you tell the story. I can feel the joy in your voices and the accomplishments you have. Go buy their book. It's called The Barefoot Spirit, How Hardship, Hustle, and Heart Built America's Number One Wine Brand. It's a great story and a great read. Bonnie and Michael, thank you for being with us. We've got to take a break now. We'll be back right after this message. You're listening to The Fran Tarkenton Show. It's only going to get better. Stay with us.
But soon she will turn. In her hand was a bottle of wine.